welcome again to the Essential Install podcast series. Today I'm not going to give you the usual presentation. Most of you know that these podcasts are designed to help the installer stroke integrator do their job better. This is going to be different again, as I'm joined by someone who is undertaking a task that most people would and could not do. The man to whom I speak is Chris Pinder. Most of you know him from his distribution company 1AV and of course the HD-based tier company HD Anywhere. Most of you will also know that we are devout supporters of Together for Cinema, and in fact, recorded a podcast recently all about it. And the feat that I refer to is Chris has entered the Marathon du Sable, which is the toughest foot race on earth, a 250-kilometre ultra-endurance race across the Sahara Desert. So today we're joined by Chris Pinder.
Hello.
And also I'm joined by the Ian Morrish, who of course heads up the tremendous industry initiative that is Together for Cinema.
Hi there.
That's a very cool hi there. He's got dulcet tones, yeah. Ian, isn't he, for radio?
Yeah. My mum loves him so much.
What, the voice or him?
His voice.
His really?
Yeah.
Everyone keeps saying I've got a face and a voice for radio.
My mum was voice, my number one fan, but she's also Ian's number one fan.
Ian, to kick us off, obviously we're going to be talking about Chris and the Marathon du Sable and all the trials and tribulations that brings. Mm. But for the people who aren't familiar with Together for Cinema, and there are a few, I'm sure, most of us know it, but there are a few, can you give us a quick intro to the whole initiative?
Of course I can, David, thank you. For those of you that don't know, and I think most people do, because we've worked very hard to put the word out about Together for Cinema. Together for Cinema is an industry AV-supported and backed initiative, a good cause enterprise that the main focus has been over the last 12 years to install cinema rooms into children's hospices, respite care homes for children and young adults, basically to bring what we take for granted every day, the cinema room experience, or one aspect of what we do, into the venues where they can't get the cinema. We bring it into their safe place, their happy place, their place where they have the medical needs and care and attention, and people can just relax and enjoy the cinema. So that's what we do. We've been going 12 years now, almost 13 years. We're hugely grateful and privileged to have the opportunity to manage and make Together for Cinema happen.
It's amazing. It's bringing joy to short lives, unfortunately, isn't it? And on occasion, so it's an amazing cause.
Every second in a children's hospice or a respite care home has to be a sparkle, because we don't know how many sparkles they could have left, and as you say, they have short lives. So we are bringing, and Chris has witnessed this as well. We're bringing some joy into their lives, where hopefully they can just relax and forget for a moment the troubles they have. It's a real special gift that the industry is collaborating to give.
Oh, I think we in the industry just think it's a fantastic cause. Anyway, Chris, tell us why you decided about a year ago, I believe, to turn yourself into an endurance athlete for the special industry initiative that is Together for Cinema. I've seen pictures of you visiting these hospices, and it's quite heart-wrenching, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. I actually decided to do this before I'd even visited a hospice. Something.
So you're
happened.
Doing it for pleasure?
It's weird, isn't it?
Wow.
No, it was in the middle of lockdown, and I had a moment where I realised just how sort of jammy I am. My whole life I've been extremely jammy. And there was some really close people to me, and something happened in their life. And it really made me realise that, you know, the worst, most awful things seem to happen to the best, most lovely people. And yes. There's absolutely nothing you can do about it. It's totally random, totally out of your control.
It doesn't matter what you've got in life, does it? It's your health and illness, which is a problem. I understand that.
And anyone can find themselves in a situation where they have to be dealing with just something that's unfathomable. Is that a word? Unfathomable.
I think so.
You can't even comprehend. Your brain can't compute it. And when you're in that situation, such as the parents and carers in the hospices and respite centres, they just deserve to have as easy a time as possible. Ian calls it sparkle moments, but really it's also the only focus for the people around the child should be the child and the short life that they have left. Yeah, that's a long way of answering the why. But I can't think of a better why, really, that ties in with what I do professionally, and the fact that I'm still able-bodied, and hopefully my jamminess will mean I manage to finish this challenge by hook or by crook.
<It's okay. laughs>
Yeah.
And that said, the finishing, I understand you've taken on the services of 15 times finisher in the Marathon des Sables, Rory Coleman. How's that working out? The training must be punishing, I would have thought.
Yeah, it's harder than I thought it would be. We're only about 25 days to go now till the race, and every day.
And how long have you been training?
I've been training for about 9 months.
Wow.
But I didn't get Rory involved till about 6 months ago. Rory, there's a video coming out soon, actually, on a bit similar to the ones we've done in the documentary series, when I meet Rory for the first time, and he's like, right, so what's your marathon time? And I'm like, I've never run a marathon. He looks at me like, okay.
I bet the picture on his face was great.
He's like, all right, what about your half marathon? Never run a half marathon. He's like, right, okay. He said, you do realise most people decide to do this about 3 years before they actually do it, and spend 3 years getting into shape.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I was lucky because I think normally it's fully booked. You do normally have to book it about 2 or 3 years in advance to get a spot on the Marathon des Sables. For some reason, I managed to just come across it, and I'm very impulsive, so I just bought my place there and then. And
you, impulsive? Come on.
Yeah. And, yeah, I got my place, and yeah, so, yeah, Rory has been the experience he has of having run 15 or 16.
Is he running another one with you?
No, he's not going to be there for this one.
Okay.
But he, for example, he ran it with Ranulph Fiennes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and Ranulph Fiennes was quite elderly when
he
did
trained?
It. He trained Ranulph Fiennes.
Wow.
He's got some great stories about him. Like, when I have to go to Cardiff every so often to train with Rory, which is about an hour and a half from where I live. I travel down the night before and stay in a hotel because I'm not very good in the mornings. I like, you know, my sleep is my luxury. And he said, well, you know, when Ranulph used to come, he'd park his beat-up old Jaguar estate outside my house and kip in the back.
Really?
Yeah, so you could have quite plausibly been walking through a back street of Cardiff and happened upon Sir Ranulph Fiennes sleeping in the back of an estate car outside Rory Coleman's house.
And how did he do? Did he finish?
He did finish, yeah.
In the top 100? Because I know that's your pitch.
He didn't finish in the top 100, but he finished the ordeal, yeah. Which is really what it is. It's an ordeal.
I mean, I know you want to finish in the top 100, but that's some feat. I mean, finishing it is an amazing feat, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm just so competitive. I played sport my whole life, but I'm very quietly competitive in myself, and I just can't enter a race without trying to beat the person in front of me.
Achieving as best you can. Yeah.
And I just know that I need to set myself a high target. So, like, yesterday I ran a Bath half marathon, and Rory told me, you want to run this slow.
This was yesterday? Wow.
Yeah.
So what did you do the 5K in the end?
I did the whole half marathon in 1 hour 39.
Gosh. Not half bad.
That's
not
pretty quick.
You and I might struggle with that, Ian, mightn't we?
I couldn't even drive it in that time, probably.
Yeah. That's incredible. And giving all the something that I'm interested in, and I'm carrying a bit more weight as I want to these days, but giving all the physical training, what kind of diet are you on these days? I mean, that must be pretty severe, surely.
Yeah, for me it's horrible because I've not had any alcohol since August. And anyone who knows me knows I do like a lager. And I've not had any bread for the past 3 or 4 months.
So what is it? It's mainly protein, obviously, I'm guessing.
It's actually a lot of the stuff I'm eating is based on what I can have in the desert. So a lot of it's dry, packetized food.
Right.
That is not, there's not a lot of fresh food in my diet anymore, which is, you know, there's different trains of thought on it, whereas it's like you should be eating
a very healthy diet, or do you, or are you training by eating what you can have in the desert?
But are you getting the healthy nutrition from the dried food? I know you have
that's
to do
supplemented
that
with a lot of like supplements, lots of pills to go with it. I'm like a 80-year-old man with my little pill case.
Your pill box.
Yeah. I take about 8 different supplements at the moment to go along with the sort of food I'm having, which is a lot of oat stuff and a lot of nuts and dried fruit.
Big high protein stuff.
Yeah. And yeah, it's unbelievable how many calories are in nuts, especially macadamia nuts.
Yes.
I'm getting a bit bored of eating nuts.
calories and protein. Yeah. And how do you, I mean, obviously the alcohol thing, you're not doing the fresh food, as you say, you're not doing. Mm. How do you feel now? Do you feel $1 million?
Do you know what about the alcohol thing?
That hesitancy kind of told me a lot.
I've never had injuries. My where I feel now is the sort of knee. I've got some knee issues, which I've never had my whole life, and that's the only kind of negative from doing it. There's lots of positives. I think I sleep a lot better and wake up a lot fresher. And
do you?
I think a lot clearer. I think there's a lot to be said for the therapeutic element to running. And I know it's a cliche, everyone says it, oh, you want to get out there and do some running, it'll clear your head. And you're like, you know, beforehand when I was on a pub on a Sunday, you know, back in my old life, I'd be like, yeah, whatever, mate. But yeah, no, I feel good. And I probably could have prepared a bit better because I got COVID a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah,
and that set me back a bit.
Yeah, yeah. You had the mild strain. I guess.
Yeah, it was mild, but you're trapped indoors, and that is like, for me, bouncing off the walls.
Yes.
Put me a couple of weeks behind. And the other problem is you're in WhatsApp groups with everyone else that's doing it from the UK, and they're putting in the group what they did that day, and all you can see is everyone else running 30 miles with full kit on, photos, and you're thinking, oh, I'm not doing that, so I must be less prepared than them. Which psychologically isn't good.
What's 250 kilometres in miles?
It's about 160 miles.
160 miles. So how many marathons? I need a calculator, but that's
six
quite a
marathons.
Few. Six marathons.
In 6 days. Mm.
But you're actually running, clearly you're running on sand, and that makes a difference, I guess, to the joints. At the moment, you're running on concrete on the roads, are you?
Running on all sorts of things. Luckily, where I live in Malvern, there's some great routes around the hills and up the hills and different terrains. But yeah, running on sand adds a dimension to it that's hard to train for, especially, and the heat as well.
Can you imagine?
Have you done much running on sand in the beaches?
There's a place in Wales called Merthyr Moor where it's some sand dunes that you can do loops around.
Yeah.
But it's I've been auditioning lots of different shoes, so I'm actually wearing a pair today that I'll be wearing in the desert, and they're like wider, big toe boxes to try and help this like spread your weight a bit.
You come down from Malvern today, yes?
Yes.
Did you run down?
I did think about it. Honestly, I said to,
did you?
To Ian, yeah. I did. Look on the. I would have got off at a few stations back and ran in, because it's just a huge pressure. You just feel this pressure to just get as many miles in your legs as possible. But
what's your weekly mileage then that you're trying to stick to?
I got up to about 90 miles a week before I had COVID.
Wow.
Yeah.
What's your plan? Sorry, Dave, I know you're leading this, but what's your plan for the week before the marathon? Do you do less miles to give your body a chance to sort of...
The week before the marathon, part of that week I'm in Tenerife. Right. And I'm going to try and do 3 days back to back, about 20 miles a day, and try and in the heat.
But have a bit of a rest as well.
And also it gives a chance to test the kit and test your food. And even though we're staying in a hotel, I won't be staying in the bed in the hotel. I'll be staying on the hotel floor on a roll mat.
Getting used to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but you're going to be sleeping on sand?
In the desert, you sleep on... there's 8-man bivouacs that the Berbers put up for you. And then you're sleeping on like a carpet that goes on the gravelly ground. And you have a choice. You know, you have to carry all your own equipment. So if you want a blow-up mattress, fine. But you've got to carry it on your back. I've opted not to have one. I've got a roll mat, which when I bought it was from head to toe. And now it's from shoulder to bum. So just to save weight.
Oh, I see. I see.
Yeah, so it's like a little, it's like a tea towel.
But it'll make, take the main pressure points.
Yeah, just on the base of the spine, and then I'll use my rucksack as a pillow. So hopefully, I'll be so tired I could probably sleep in a, you know, just standing up probably.
And how many days are you going to be competing?
6 days the race is.
So there's a specific time limit, 6 days. If you do it in 8 days, you can still...
No, you can't do it in 8 days. There's a cut-off
point.
Oh, so it
all finishes at 6 days?
Yeah, there's a camel that they walk, and you have to beat the camel, basically.
No, seriously?
Yeah, I'm serious. Yeah, it's a famous thing. You have nightmares about the camel.
What can I say?
I don't know what to say about that.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. So, yeah, you have to carry all your own equipment, and you have this decision-making balance of how much luxury do I have to make it more bearable versus weight that's going to make it physically harder.
Yeah, yeah.
And you've got, you know, literally down to sawing the handle off your toothbrush to save weight, and pouring lighter fuel out the lighter to save weight. And
really,
you know, literally every gram counts. And for weeks I've been sort of trying to create my meal plan to create the maximum calories from the minimum weight, and basically I find nuts really boring, so I've invented some meals which I'm quite proud of, which are highly calorific.
Well, talk to me and we'll publish the Chris Pinder
my guide to Marathon Disabler. And that's the other thing, yeah, people putting their meal plans in the WhatsApp groups and stuff, and they're it's mainly shakes and powders and nuts, and I think I'd get to about day three and quit, because I'd just be like, if you're having a bit of a tough day and you've got nothing to look forward to at the end of it, that I think that's going to make it harder to bear. So
it's very uninspiring, isn't it, eating that kind of stuff on a regular basis.
Right, the drive is day seven. You can have burger, chips, curry,
and I'm going to have that
whatever you want.
Beautiful first pint of lager.
I would have thought day seven he'd be horizontal for 24 hours after all that.
I've got quite a British kind of approach to my meals. So at the end of the day, I'm going to look forward to a cup of tea. If you're going to have a nice cup of tea. Right. And I've invented a kind of almost like a desert picnic, which is a little packet of crackers. You go to a hotel and you get your individual jams and
things. The little tiny ones, yeah.
So I've got a little individual Lotus biscuit spread.
Oh, yeah. Spread?
You can get it like a spread and a Nutella.
Right.
Plus a packet of three crackers is 64 grams. It's about 400 calories. So I plan to have a nice little brew up, get my crackers out, spread it on, have a little picnic at the end of the day.
So what happens? Yeah. You literally fly out to a base.
You fly out to a place called Ouarzazate in Morocco, and then they bus you to the edge of the desert.
And then at the end, same thing. They bus you back.
And they bus you back to actually quite a nice hotel at the end.
That's assuming you can climb up into the bus.
It's going to be the smelliest bus ever. Because
no one's washed for 6 days.
No one's washed for 6 days.
Especially with all that dry food and nuts.
Absolutely.
Yeah there's... So I've only got one pair of underwear for 6 days. It's all extra weight. And I've promised Dylan, my good friend Dylan, he's having them framed on his wall of his office.
Good call.
As a memento, yeah.
Good call.
Yeah.
I know all about weight saving. I don't know if you guys know, but I used to race motorcycles professionally. Mm. And that was all about weight saving. You know, we'd take a block of metal and drill about 300 holes in it, right. So it takes all the weight away.
Yeah.
So I understand a bit about cutting the toothbrush down, you know, that sort of thing.
A gram here and a gram there.
Is there a set weight or your...
No, there's no set weight. There's a minimum amount of calories that you have to prove that you have on you in case you get lost and need to survive in the desert.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it's 2,000 calories a day, and you have to show the race organisers all your food in clear plastic bags, with all the nutritional information written on there as well.
It's amazing, isn't it? Mm. And the training you're doing now, are you carrying that weight so that you're acclimatising yourself to the weight itself?
Yeah, so I have three packets of dishwasher salts wrapped in gaffer tape in my rucksack.
Dishwasher salts?
Yeah, because it's dense and heavy.
It's an amazing thing this guy's doing incredible. Here. No, absolutely amazing.
Do you know when
I would love to be able to do it. I really would.
Oh, same here. Yeah. Well, as you know, I'm having heard more about the journey, absolutely not a million years. You know, 99% of us could never even comprehend doing this. And when Chris came to me 10 months, a year ago, and said, Ian, I'd like to do this for Together for Cinema, I was like, great. That'd be fabulous. We get a few quid in the pot. You know, we can secure Together for Cinema. We can give a bit more to the kids and so on and so forth. Over the months, I had no comprehension of the extremes you will be going through and the challenge you're facing. And now, all I think is, for God's sake, come back fit and healthy and safe and sound.
Yeah.
Because it's a real, you're pushing yourself to the limits. And, you know, what you're doing is incredible and is a real gift. And just come back safe and sound.
No, I'm sure he will.
I hope so.
Talking money now, your target is to raise 25 grand.
Mm-hmm.
Last time I looked, I think it was on something like 17.
Mm.
Where are you now? Forgive me, I haven't looked today. But
I've had a few more sponsors whilst I was on the train here, actually. I think we're edging ever closer to 25,000.
Good. So you make that target. I would have thought you'd go through that target, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm very hopeful that we will. It's always difficult setting a target amount, because if you set it too high, people look at it and just think, man, they're never going to get that. But of course, every pound that gets donated will be spent on providing these rooms. The more money we raise, the more rooms we can do over the coming years.
And the more joy you bring to young lives.
The thing is, when I spoke to Ian, he said, and just like, getting equipment isn't the hardest part. You know, it's easier for big companies to give expensive projectors and speakers and stuff than it is for them to sign a check for a couple of hundred quid because of like board structures and rules and governance and what have
you. Very true.
So, but every operation requires cash flow for certain things. You might get 8 out of 10 things you need to complete the cinema, and you could just do with the cash to get the other two bits, or you know, and to get a level of consistency and quality throughout all the cinemas. And I'm sure that this was the first, because there's a lot of great people in our industry, and you know what, that's borne out actually by the people that have sponsored me. There's competitors of mine, like bitter competitors in the commercial space, that have donated serious amounts of money towards my challenge.
That's kind of business. This is something completely different, isn't it? You know, business is business, but what you're doing is something completely different.
It's, I think, something that the industry has needed. It's a benefit, another sort of predicted benefit of the Together for Cinema cause, is that it's a unifying kind of bipartisan thing that, you know what, we can all get a bit too serious about business life sometimes. And
that's for sure.
You know, like award ceremonies and stuff and trade shows and what have you, there's that air of like, you know, competitiveness and like, oh, I don't like him and I don't like that. And what the Together for Cinema cause has done, certainly for me and probably for others, is be like, you know what, we've got something else we can talk about, something else we can celebrate, and it allows you to remember that people in the industry are just people, and the colours, you know, it's just like a sport, isn't it? They're just wearing a certain team's colours that day.
100%. I mean, the industry we're all in, of course, the AV, or one of the industries I'm in, but the industry primarily, of course, the AV industry, it's very incestuous, isn't it? And everybody knows everybody. And it's nice seeing, for you, Ian, it's nice seeing the people getting behind you and getting behind the cause. Same with you, Chris.
I think I'll just jump in and say, you know, Together for Cinema, we have partners, we have a steering committee, we have media partners, operational partners, we have sponsors and so on. Everybody is in this for the end result. It's not about egos. It's not about return on any sponsorship that's put forward. It's about helping make these rooms happen. It's the end goal that's the most important. Nobody has ever donated product or sponsored Together for Cinema to get any specific direct return. So there's a real, as I've used this phrase before, there's a real purity of the delivery, and that it's just a pure good, a pure and unquestionable good, and people want to help. How can you not? I mean, it's such a good cause, but you know what Chris is doing is amazing.
Well, What does that mean to Together for Cinema? I mean, I guess I'm talking about that the effort is amazing, but bringing in 25K is a substantial amount, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And it secures Together for Cinema. When we started, you know, the sort of to get, you know, Together for Cinema was being funded, which was, in fact, 12 months ago tomorrow. So we're now a year into Together for Cinema being, with me drawing a monthly fee and there being a budget and targets and so on and so forth and fundraising. We had no perception, you know, of how we were going to be received. It has been amazing. You know, we have now secured the revenue we need for 2022, pretty much. We still have a few outstanding sponsors.
I don't
think
anybody can avoid, frankly, the subject matter.
No, where people want to get
it's
involved.
It's just heart-wrenching,
yeah.
I think.
People want to get involved. But when you say to somebody, well, these are the sponsorship options, 500,000, 2.5, or 5,000, you know, it takes a lot of little bits of money to build up to your budget for the year. What Chris has done and is doing by raising most likely in excess of £25,000 gives us security. It also gives us the liberty, and I say us, and it's me, but Together for Cinema and the collaborative AV industry, it gives us the choice to say, okay, well, that install looks great, but they could do with an Apple TV and a karaoke machine. And maybe, you know, there's certain companies that donate a certain amount, but they can't donate all the time. So we might go to that company and buy at trade price some of the items that we need to really make to give the extra bits to an installation. And it gives us the liberty and the choice to do that. But one of the main things it does, as I say, it just every install that we now do this year will have a sort of a pulse and a bit of a heartbeat from what Chris is doing. And that makes a huge difference. A huge difference.
The industry builds amazing cinemas for wealthy individuals that can afford a cinema.
Hmm.
How do you kind of justify in your own mind how deserving the client is of the cinema or not? You don't. It's just your job, and you solve the problem for the person. Yeah, you know, in that space room, and you build it in the software, and that, and you get a sense of fulfillment. I built a great cinema in that space. The Together for Cinema rooms are a whole nother level, because the sort of person you're building a cinema for is not one person, it's potentially thousands of users over a period of time. Correct. And when I went to Rose Road, just to create a kind of portrait of a person using the cinema, I saw a video about the children that they look after there, and you have foster parents who gladly take a child in that is the child of, so that's been a shaken baby, been abused, been the product of a alcoholic mother, you know, with life-limiting conditions because of those horrendous situations. And then you have the willingness of someone to be a foster parent or even an adopted parent and take on such a challenge. And I just think that's amazing. And it's like, I can't get my head around the selflessness of those people.
Mm.
So to be able to take what we do as our art by building amazing cinemas that provide escapism and distraction and give them to the most deserving people, not the wealthy, well-to-do, I've done well in my business, so I have a cinema. These are people that don't care for themselves, you know, don't care for the things that we think are heroes, like the things that we aspire to in normal culture as being what makes you successful and what makes you a person to look up to. It's like the real problem and the real people that deserve it are like these foster parents that have to provide 24-hour care to very difficult.
I'll just jump in and quote from one of the installers who installed a couple of years ago. He said, you know, we install for Saudi princes, we install for footballers, actors, actresses, multiple, you know, big incomes. And, you know, we charge our fee and we walk away and we make our money. And we deliver, as you say, Chris, a great cinema room. But this particular installer, am I allowed to mention someone or not?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I always think, Ian, and you didn't want to do it the last time we recorded, but I think it's great to give a shout out. if you have a mind to, that's your call.
Yeah, no.
But
no.
My view is to give a shout out. We're giving a shout out to Chris, who's raising a lot of money. Yeah. But give a shout out to the sponsors. Give a shout out to the people supplying you kit.
Well,
I think they deserve it.
I'm very conscious that if I list our sponsors or try to, or list the people who donate product, and Chris, you very kindly donate product. You're here, I can say that. I'm conscious I'll miss someone, and I don't want anyone to think that we're not grateful or we forget them. So sure. I try not to list.
Okay,
and that's my. It's all on the website, of course. But this particular installer,
and the website is
www.togetherforcinema.co.uk.
Brilliant.
This particular installer, who installed a venue called Derrian House in Chorley, and say all of these fancy installations, hundreds of thousands of pounds, he donated his time and free of charge installed in Derrian House. He said it was quite simply the best and most moving installation he has ever been involved in.
Most satisfying, yeah.
Absolutely. So I'm Stephen Neverson from Intuitive Homes, and he was moved greatly by what he delivered. And the install would have normally been probably in the region of about £80,000 to £85,000. And he donated his time free of charge. He helped with one or two items of kit. You know, we generated it all ourselves otherwise. It's just very moving. And we've even had installers who have actually broken down in tears at openings because it is so moving. Mm. So that's the impact we're having at the moment, which is great.
You've invited me to some of them, and I must confess, I mean, I love kids. Mm-hmm. Kids are fantastic. Yeah. I think getting over it for me would be a problem, actually seeing those kids as they are.
Well, the first couple of children's hospices I went to, you know, in 2010, you know, you walk out and you break down and sit in your car and weep. It's so heavy.
I can imagine.
Mm. It's very empowering, very powerful. Now, as I say before about the sparkles, every second's got to be a sparkle. Has to be as big a sparkle as it can be. So if you do come, David, I know you will one day.
I do want to.
If you need a moment, just you know, go outside, have your moment. Because
I probably will.
Yeah, no, I'm sure.
Magazine is the leading title for the smart home, AV and home cinema markets. Packed monthly with news, views, features, products and case studies, it's a must read for any integration company looking to source new products and increase their profits. If you'd prefer to get your smart home and high quality AV news online, then get along to essentialinstall.com. Updated daily with news, product releases and case studies. Essential Install is the last word in smart home, AV and home cinema coverage. Don't miss out. Stay up to date with Essential Install in print and online.
Chris, back to you. I know you're confident or your aim is to finish in the top 100.
Mm.
You confident?
Not so much recently, I must admit.
I suppose the COVID's kind of knocked you back a little, has it?
And the knees.
I've had some issues with the knee. That just had this knee pain.
I expect that's a lot of football. You played a lot of football, don't you? Or have done?
I did. Very average footballer. But the I never had any injuries playing football, ever. I was never on the treatment table. Never won for that. And but just the sheer amount of miles on the joint seems to have erupted something within it that's quite painful. So I've had a steroid injection in it, and hopefully that'll...
Do you know what it is? Is it a cartilage?
It's a classic runner's knee, just inflammation of overworking that joint that's not been used to it. Hopefully it'll die down before I go away. But am I confident of finishing top 100? I can't say I'm confident of that, but what I am confident of is that I will give it my absolute best shot.
Oh, I'm sure.
I won't. Yeah, we're representing, representing the country. Your nationality is on your number. It's an international event, so there's a sense of pride in that.
How many people actually taking part?
About 1,000.
Really? Mm. Wow.
Yeah, and only about 600 finish.
That's a hell of an organising thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm. It's. Do you remember you Transworld? What was the programme?
Transworld Sport. Yeah, I remember. Well, it's
covered.
It's
covered on that. I mean, it's an international, like, big time race. So
but
yeah.
The other pressure you've got, Chris, is that, and as I said earlier, the most important thing is you come back from this safe and sound. Mm. And you don't damage yourself and so on. Knowing you will push and push and push and push. But the most important thing is you come out safe. But you have got the added pressure of people have donated, and then you've been to Rose Road, so you've seen the effect that Together for Cinema has, and you're enhancing it and helping that happen. But as I say, don't let that cloud your safety and you know the welfare of your knees, because that's the most important thing.
Yeah, I'll be fine.
And I'll put this in the middle of the table. There's a huge steak, champagne, lunch, dinner, whatever you want on me.
Fantastic.
When you come back.
Yep, I'm definitely going to lap up any free hospitality from you, David.
Or you can stick with your peanuts and crackers.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I hope it actually sets a trend, because there's lots of people in our industry that I know like would be willing to do crazy challenges to raise money for Together for Cinema. I can only see it's going to spur on other people to do more and more stuff.
Well, I hope so.
Well, just again, I keep jumping in, sorry David, but one of the byproducts of Together for Cinema and the good work that the industry collaborates to make happen is that the industry sees these things happen, and so many other things have happened as a result of the activity of Together for Cinema. So somebody else may install their own cinema room in their own youth club, or it could be someone knows a carpenter who, for example, did happen, you know, built a treehouse in one of our installation venues. So you hear of other things happening, and that's a great thing, actually. Yeah. It's a great byproduct of the good that Together for Cinema is delivering, that other things, you know, you that sort of infectious, actually, maybe I should get involved and do something. And that's lovely.
A lot of people have jumped on the whole thing, haven't they, in the industry. I see a lot of people I wouldn't have thought support charities, you've got them on board. So
yes,
there's
a lot
of people out there you've got already.
Yeah.
You could do with more, of course, but there's
We could always do with more. I mean, any extra money's raised just goes to the end result now. You know, there's a fee I draw. There'll be no Ian Morris Christmas bonuses, I promise you that. You know, it all goes back into delivering to the children and the venues that we install in.
Chris, do you want to give us the details where to go to give you money to get you to the 25 grand plus?
Yeah, it's very easy. My website for it is pinder.com/MDS. Any amount, whether it's £1 or £1,000, whether you're an individual sponsor or a corporate sponsor, it'd be greatly appreciated. If you follow me on social media, I'm easy to find. There's some documentary videos about my journey.
You've recorded a few of those, haven't you, Neil?
Yeah, there's what the first one's out now. It's about 10 minutes long. It's about my trip to Rose Road.
Is this across all social media platforms or some
specific ones? It's on Instagram. It's on Instagram.
Okay.
It's also find me on Instagram. I think it's Chris_Pinder, and Together for Cinema I'll repost it as well on LinkedIn and Facebook.
LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter and Instagram, wherever we can, we're getting that exposure. So it's not my area of expertise, but we are covered there. So.
The next video is about my meeting with Rory Coleman, where he sits me down at his kitchen table and he's like, right. And he just fills me in with all his experience, which is invaluable because, you know, stops you making lots of mistakes.
And he's with you. He's not going to be there, but he's with you right up until you get a plane and fly out, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, he's helping me with the diet, with the training plan, with the kit list, and basically pulling apart my rucksack and making sure that it's as light as possible. That gives me an advantage because it stops you making a lot of mistakes that other people make.
Oh, you've done it absolutely right. Yeah. You know, get a professional in to advise you, because I'm sure there are people who think they can do it and go off and do their own training scheme and tend to fall flat on their face. Not literally, but
protecting the feet. Advice. The feet is the main. I should have mentioned it earlier. It's like you've got this 5-star hotel at the end. It might be a bit less than that, but you're not allowed in the swimming pool.
Oh, really?
No, because most people's feet are just horrendous.
Blisted. Yeah,
yeah, and. Yeah, it doesn't matter how fast you can run in Bath Half Marathon or London Marathon. If you can't look after your feet in the desert, stop yourself.
You won't. Yeah.
Yeah, turning into...
Well, I know we covered this, but running on the sand is better, presumably, because it's like a soft, cushiony kind of surface than running on hard surfaces, road surfaces.
It's probably not, because you sink in.
All surfaces have a road surface... you know, the reverberations, the impact can can help cause problems for your joints. And similarly, the bounciness of sand is
more energy sapping running in sand, because all that the bounce back energy you get from a hard surface isn't there. It just dissipates into the sand, so it's a lot harder. But you just got to deal. It's not all soft sand. There's a mix of terrains. There's rocky bits. There's gravelly bits, and there is quite a lot of sand dunes. Some of the pictures that you see from the race are just epic. But also, you can imagine you get to the top of one dune, and then there's another one even bigger in front of you. It's quite soul destroying.
That's a good point, actually. Are you being filmed in any way, or they film the whole
they
thing?
They film the whole
but
thing.
But have
yeah.
you got somebody filming you? Because I notice from some of your social media stuff, you've got someone following you with a camera of some sort.
No, I'd be filming myself. I've got this.
You've got a GoPro.
I've got better than a GoPro. I've done lots of research, and the GoPro's too heavy. Even though it's a tiny little thing, yeah.
Wow.
I've actually found an even smaller camera, and it's called an Insta 360. It's literally the size of my thumb.
And where does it sit about your person?
You wear a medallion, a magnetic medallion, and it clips onto that through your clothing, and so it's there, like almost like a police body cam. And then you can pull it out and film, and it's all in 4K. And hopefully I'll chuck all the footage at Colton, who's been editing the video together, and he'll be able to create something from it that makes sense. But I'm going to try and capture it for posterity. And who knows, maybe the industry will have a team.
Absolutely.
Maybe we'll get a team doing it one year, rather than just me on my own. Maybe we can get a group.
Well, Chris, I remember when Chris mentioned this to me 10, 12 months ago. I said, "Oh, that's great, Chris. That'll be fabulous." I'll tell you what, Chris, I'll come along with you. I'll be your sort of side stooge, while you're doing the run. I had no comprehension of structure. And I had visions that I'd meet you at one hotel and we'd have dinner and then off you go the next day. I mean, how are we? I'm so embarrassed. So the only way I can support Chris actually while he's doing the run is I'm going to be cycling a marathon every day that you're running a marathon, which is...
Are you really?
Yeah. I would say.
How cool is that? That's such a great idea.
It's not particularly challenging, but I've set up at home 6 days. I'll do 4 days of 26, 27 miles.
And cycling, you'll do that before breakfast and then go to the office? And
it's going to take most of the day probably for me. Anyone who knows me, but so that'll be fun just to do. I can't support Chris while he's out there, really. I can be, at the end of it, the internet, maybe posting things, and we'll talk about how best I can help Chris during the week. But if I can do something for me, actually, just cycle around a little bit, that I can do something. Chris knows I'm doing that. That might help you spur on to the next footstep.
I really do.
This is inspiring. I think.
Yeah,
well, I think it's very inspiring. We'll get some pictures in. We'll publish them.
Are you sure you want pictures of me in Lycra? David, I don't think
you said
so.
That.
Yeah, no, I don't think I'll take pictures.
Yeah, I opted against the Lycra. I've been auditioning all sorts of clothes for the desert.
I saw your top.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
Oh, that's amazing.
Someone showed me in the office.
I have to thank Rhino for
brilliant.
That.
Brilliant top. Yeah. Brilliant top.
Yeah. Luckily, a good friend of mine.
You look the business, Chris.
I look, all the gear, no idea, as usual. And I've got all the main sponsors that I really should thank. They're on the shirt, and it's plastered in sponsors, which just demonstrates how much support I've been able to get so far. And I'm really grateful for them. And hopefully that shirt is going to 6 days. I'm going to frame it. I might keep that one for myself, but...
I think you should.
Can you do another one, get them to buy another one, keep one, and auction the other one off at the end of the marathon, maybe.
Yeah, good idea.
So Rhino are providing that, which are quite a well-known rugby brand. That's great. I should mention the main sponsors, Gopher Granite, Lillin, Inline Engineering, Pulsate, Essential Install... Just Add Power, the list goes on. All giving good amounts of
power. And that list is on your website?
It's on the website, and it's on my kit, and it's on videos and stuff like that.
Give us that website again, Chris.
Just it's pinder.com/MDS.
Brilliant. What a wonderful situation this is. Okay, I think that's about time. Just leaves me to say thank you to Chris Pinder, the Marathon du Sable marathon runner.
Thank you very much, David.
And thanks to Ian Morris, who is heading up, of course, Together for Cinema. And if you'd like to contact Ian and help donations, you can go to Ian's website. If you Google Together for Cinema, it comes up, I'm sure.
Yes, it does.
So thank you for listening. Keep your ears open for the next in the Essential Install podcast series. I'm off to the gym. So it's goodbye and have a great day.
Thank you, Dave.
Can I just say, I think it's fantastic how you've transformed yourself from the Dark Lord of publishing to the new Jonathan Ross of the industry.
Thanks for listening to the Essential Install Magazine podcast. Please subscribe to this podcast in your chosen podcast app so you never miss an episode. Stay up to date with Essential Install in print and online. Visit essentialinstall.com.